From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. We got a great show this week. We got actor Tony Shalhoub. He'll be joining us later. Now, Tony Shalhoub is best known for playing Monk, the obsessive compulsive TV detective. So this is going to be great. We're going to put him in a room with a picture rigged so that no matter how hard he tries, he can't make it hang straight, right? We expect him to react to this by saying, "That was just a character I played in TV. Are you guys idiots?" In the meantime, we're obsessive about asking you questions. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Rebecca Andreessen from San Francisco, California.
Hey, how are things in San Francisco?
Surprisingly sunny, actually.
Surprisingly sunny. You're coming out of the foggy winter. What do you do there?
I actually work in political fundraising and consulting.
Political, so you raise money for politicians?
Yeah.
I sense your shame and won't pursue the topic further.
Thank you.
Rebecca, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the man behind the world-famous podcast, Too Beautiful to Live, known as Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hi.
Right there.
Hey, Rebecca.
Next is the deputy editor and a blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hey, Rebecca.
And a comedian who will be performing at the Strand Capital Performing Arts Center in York, Pennsylvania, on March 12th, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Rebecca.
Yay. Rebecca, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle, of course, will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you win our prize. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Here is your first quote.
It used to be you could at least look across the river at New Jersey and feel good about yourself. Those days were gone.
That's a political advisor. Named Kevin Sheekley. He was talking to Politico.com about all the scandals, corruption, and cover-ups. Where this week?
It would be in New York.
It would be New York State. This is just this week's developments in the Empire State. The governor, David Patterson, who only became governor because the last governor got caught overpaying for prostitutes. It's New York. You really can't pay retail, okay? They don't respect you if you do that. Anyway, the current governor, David Patterson, dropped his reelection bid and might resign because of a terrible cover-up involving an aide and because he accepted free World Series tickets, which is against the law. In his defense about that, and this is true, Patterson says the tickets weren't really a benefit to him because being blind, he couldn't see the game.
But he could be the umpire.
Yes. He could have umpired, yes. Meanwhile, Congressman Charlie Rangel from Harlem gave up his chairmanship after he accepted a Caribbean vacation from corporate lobbyists. And a Congressman Eric Massa is quitting amidst rumors he has harassed a male aide. That's just this week. In response, our state of Illinois reinstated Rob Blagojevich as governor, gave him a $10 million slush fund, dropped him off at a brothel, and said to him, "Win us our title back." Yeah.
At what point in New York are they just going to look at every level of government they're failing and just go, "You know what? We're turning the whole state over to Jay-Z."
Why not?
That guy knows what he's doing.
Clearly somebody in New York does. The standard, though, for New York politicians is now so low, you can get elected with a slogan like, "Only committed misdemeanors." "Rarely convicted." "Never stabbed a hobo." "Didn't."
"Out on appeal."
It's long been one of the most corrupt states in the union. I mean, just go to Albany. Think about spending a winter there. You would do anything. Right. There's not much else to do but be corrupt.
They're basically all like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah, kind of.
It must kind of smart a bit when you realize how hard you worked to get there.
This is it?
Yeah.
This is it.
All right. Yeah, they should probably, before somebody does a run for office in New York, they should probably make them go look at Albany.
See what they think.
Yeah, maybe.
You really want to come? You want to go here?
Yeah,
yeah, really.
Exactly. It'd be like a scared straight program for potential politicians. All right, very good. Your next quote is from U.S. Senator Jim Bunning of Kentucky.
I have missed the Kentucky-South Carolina game that started at 9 o'clock, and it's the only redeeming chance we had to beat South Carolina.
Mr. Bunning was lamenting the fact that he had to stay late at work so he could do what?
Block the extension of the aid for unemployment.
Exactly right. Block a spending bill. Senator Bunning, for those of you who don't know, is being forced into retirement by his own party. And you know how you get when you get fired? You say, man, I'm going to screw the boss. I'm going to wreck this place. Well, it's just like that for Bunning, except his boss is America. Bunning's hold on the spending bill also caused the furlough of Transportation Department workers. So now all over the country, those guys who stand around doing nothing at highway construction sites were forced to stand around doing nothing somewhere else. He finally gave in, released the hold, when Democrats distracted him by sending a small child holding candy by him, and he leapt off the podium to go steal it.
That is so easy to do. Here's the thing I think for Bunning that's a little unfortunate is that you know that he was at Bullfeathers or some, D.C. watering hole with a bunch of his cronies. Yeah. And they were like, oh, maybe a couple of shots of wild turkey into it. And they were like, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to go down there and stop this thing. And they all agreed. But he was the only one who actually did it.
Yeah.
That is humiliating. Oh.
All right. Very good. Rebecca, here is your last quote.
JetBlue 171 cleared for takeoff. JetBlue 171 contact departure.
That was somebody in air traffic control at Kennedy Airport in New York City last month. As we now know, the problem wasn't what he said, but who said it? Who was it?
I have no idea.
You don't know? You can't guess from Carl's youthful demeanor as he.
I'm assuming it was someone under the age of 10.
Yes, it was a child, in fact.
Okay.
It was a child. You know what it's like, though. School's out. Your mother-in-law can't babysit, so you bring the kids to work. Eventually, they get bored and whiny, so why not let them give Daddy a hand? Well, one reason why not is that Daddy is an air traffic controller. And the last time little Johnny managed takeoffs and landings, there were smashed Lego pieces all over the living room. Weirdly, the pilots had no problem with the controller's kids telling them what to do. Guess their parents themselves, but the FAA did and has suspended the controller and his supervisor, which means now the kid is filling in full time, which is why so many flights at JFK have been cleared for takeoff to Hogwarts. Turns out this has been going on for some time. Last year, a 7-year-old got loose in the control tower at LaGuardia and instructed a U.S. Airways flight to land in the Hudson River.
That's what
said,
that was.
Make a
that
big splash!
Well.
Wait a minute. Boo? Really? Boo? I understand a disappointed silence. But boo? Touchy. Carl, how did Rebecca do in our quiz?
Rebecca was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so Rebecca, you win our prize.
Well done, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you.